peruse through your hymn and find a hymn that you'd like to do, shout out a number. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Unless I had read the door that said John Hader, I wouldn't have believed that it was him. He was unrecognizable. My papa was dying. He'd been dying for a while, and we all kind of saw this coming. But being all of 12 years old, I don't know if I understood everything that was happening. I couldn't really tell the difference between a man who was dying and a man who was living, at least when we first heard the news. And he looked the same when we first heard that he was sick. Same hair, same beard, same eyes, same voice. But when I was 11 and we drove up to Michigan to go see him for what we thought might very well be the last time, everything was different. He was unrecognizable. He didn't have the same hair. He had no hair. He didn't have a beard or any facial hair. His eyes had a lot less life in them, and his voice was a shadow of what it used to be. And on top of all that, there were machines connected to him. Like I said, I could hardly recognize him. When he died, the people in charge of the arrangements put him back together, you might say. He looked just like I remembered. They even got the hair back and all that stuff. I guess that's their job. I could recognize him again. But death isn't always like that. Sometimes it's so horrific, so gruesome, that we have no choice but to turn our heads, no choice but to do a closed casket funeral, because we can't look. Because if we look, we won't like what we see, because it's not pretty. If we look, we'll be scarred, so we have to turn our heads away, because we can't bear it. This is the kind of sight that we see, that we think of as we ponder our suffering Savior today, as we hear the words from Isaiah, which are, in fact, talking about Jesus. Isaiah says, "His appearance was disfigured from that of a man." On the cross, Jesus was utterly unrecognizable. He had been beaten. He had a crown of thorns put upon him. He had been scourged, and he's nailed to the cross. Whatever image you have in your mind, I can assure you it's much, much worse than that. It was. He was utterly unrecognizable. We've all seen pictures of Jesus, maybe hanging on walls in churches or I don't know where. You've seen the pictures of Jesus crucified, right? Artists represent him in many various ways. But I can't help but thinking when I see some of these pictures that Jesus isn't nearly bloody enough. I don't mean that in a grotesque, disgusting way, but have you seen some of these pictures? We gaze at Jesus crucified, and sure, his hands are nailed to the cross, right? But I mean, the guy still looks handsome, right? He doesn't look like he's been bopped in the face a few too many times by Roman soldiers. And there's just a little stream of blood coming down his side, right? But wasn't he scourged? And sometimes I wonder if the soldiers gave him a bath before they crucified him, because he's so clean. Maybe we need a little more of the gruesome in our Christian art. The grotesqueness that is the crucifixion, because that's what happens, right? His appearance was disfigured from that of a man. I've seen the Passion of the Christ, saw it once, and maybe I'll see it again sometime, but I don't know if I'll soon forget. I'm not trying to say, you know, this movie is the end-all, be-all for interpreting the Passion or what it was like, but this is what I will tell you. It was unsettling and it was unnerving. I squirmed and I had to turn my face many times because I didn't recognize Jesus. His face was difficult to make out, and honestly, the producers of the movie might have taken it easy on us. I don't know if you've seen that movie. It could very well have been worse. His appearance was disfigured beyond that of a man, probably so disfigured that they had to put a sign over his head that says, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews," just in case you're wondering. When you ponder the crucifixion, when you realize the intense pain and the anguish, the suffering and the disfigurement, can you think, can you watch that without batting an eyelash? I think not, because it's a story that gets to us. It hits us right in the gut, right in the emotion, because it is hard to watch that kind of punishment get doled out. We see Jesus, a man innocent of any wrongdoing, being punished for the sins of the world. And when we see that punishment being distributed, it looks a whole lot like hell. I'm not going to really preach to you today about your sins and how sinful you are, because I don't know if I really have to in this sermon, because the text kind of preaches itself. You see the price with Jesus. If you want to see the effects of sin, look no further than to his sufferings, and then look away if you have to. It was my sin, it was your sin that held him there, no matter how big, no matter how small, if it was a lot or if it was a little. We left him disfigured to the point where we could hardly recognize him anymore. But brothers and sisters, this is the paradox of the cross, and maybe why it pops up in artwork, in Christian artwork so much. Is the cross ugly or is it beautiful? Those who are dead in sin, who know the weight of their sin, may see the cross and see it as the most ugly thing they've ever seen. But to those of us who are alive in Christ, the cross is the most beautiful thing in the world. When I say Jesus died for you, when I say Jesus suffered and was made unrecognizable for you, what does that mean? Does that mean you're a terrible sinner and he had to die because of all the sin that you have? Well, sure. But it also means that he loved you so much that he came down from heaven to die a death of torture on your behalf. This is the love, the depths of the richness and the mercy of God. That's what the cross is, something ugly turned so beautiful. The depths of God's love for you. The beauty of the cross is that God takes something ugly and even makes himself ugly. And by doing so, he transforms that ugly thing into something beautiful again. And that's what he does for you and me. You and me, ugly with sin, beyond the figure, beyond the recognition, being able to see who we are. And he makes us beautiful again because of Jesus. What a moment that must have been when Jesus appeared to his disciples after he had risen. And he shows them his hands and his side. Wounds that they had been mourning over just days before. He shows them to them, and now what? Pure joy for these scars. These scars that spelled certain death for Jesus are now life and forgiveness for his disciples, so they can't help but rejoice. And this too will be yours. When one day you see Jesus face to face, you'll see him. And has it ever struck you or puzzled you that you don't know what Jesus looks like? When you get to heaven, when you see him face to face, how will you know it's him? You'll know him by the ugly wounds turned beautiful. The one who was made unrecognizable, now recognizable beyond the shadow of a doubt. That's your Jesus. You'll know him by his scars. So now what do you think about your suffering Savior? Would you hang a picture of Jesus bleeding on your wall, maybe? Or put him as the background for your phone or your computer? You could do that. It wouldn't be gross or disgusting, because actually that's the most beautiful thing in the world. What are you going to do when you see the suffering Savior? Are you going to look away? No, gaze. You don't have to flinch, because that's the depths of love that he went to for you. Is your master unrecognizable? Please. You know exactly who that man is with the scars and with the wounds. Because you know how he got those scars. He got them for you. They were put there for you. Amen.